Denise. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Bikini and the Brain podcast. I'm here with the man, the myth, the legend. You may know him as Adam Bonilla, but I like to call him Adam Bo, aka my coach. What's up, that's Adam?
Quite the intro. Yeah. Quite the intro. You know what I found out too during your intro? Magically, a matching straw appeared in my drink. Whoa. Did you did
because
this?
Because it matches your shirt.
Is that why you did this?
Yes.
For
and
all
you have
of you,
a straw on your shirt too.
Oh yeah.
And then
For all of you listening only, I am drinking out of the butt cup, which is this famous butt cup that Ashley got at a
farmer's market, like a little craft setup. Yeah.
A farmer's market. And she's so kind. This is the story. This is how kind Ashley is. So she went to this little farmer's market and she got this cup and she thought it was cute. So she goes to check out and it's $75.
And I didn't know.
And she didn't know, but she felt bad because it's like a little small business person. Mm-hmm. So she bought it.
But it has butts all over it.
It has three butts on it.
And then I set it down like half an hour after I got it. And then I broke the handle off. But it still has butts on it, so it still works. And that's basically how I got my butt.
$75 coffee mug.
Yeah, well, it's
worth it. They saw you coming. So, that's so funny. Actually, we have a good topic for today for everyone who's, competing and also who's just, dieted, trying to lean out.
Or how about just living life in general?
Oh, we're going to go over there too, huh? Okay.
In deep.
We're going to go deep. All right. I guess we're going throwing Hail Marys.
We'll see.
Deep on this one. So I didn't know we're going that far. All of a sudden we got serious because we were talking about the Neuralink. That's why.
Oh.
That's where we're getting. Yeah. We'll go into that a whole other day. But so what's the topic, Ms. Ashley?
So I think it'd be great to cover the topic of mistakes that we've made, mistakes you see in the fitness industry with contest prepping. And in life.
Okay.
Life.
My life one could be 4 hours long alone.
No, we won't go there.
So let's go into, I guess, the first part of it, right? What's mm-hmm. your, I guess when you're making, what's weird is that when you make a mistake, when you're doing this stuff, you kind of don't realize you're making a mistake till it's too late.
Oh yeah.
That's one of the weird things about mm-hmm. this. And you don't do it till you find out after you've dieted, after you've competed, you see your pictures, or even when you hit a plateau, like it takes till you hit a plateau to realize, oh, maybe I went about this the wrong way and now I'm stuck.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some of the things that you've gone through?
Well, I think the biggest, most obvious one is I took a whole year off in 2017. I took the whole year off, the year before, I guess it was like a kind of like a feeling that I needed to take a break. Like a lot of pressure was getting to me and I was like, I just want to be normal for a little bit, and a little bit turned into a whole year. And I really let myself go. And I've never been the weight I was in 2017. And it wasn't even just that I was like, overweight, like as a normal person, but for me, somebody that's always been an athlete, been super agile and efficient. It was different for me. I got up to 145, which, please, if you're 145, don't think that's a lot. I'm just saying for my personal, goals and lifestyle, that is a lot for me. I walk on stage like 119 for reference. But yeah, in that year, I mean, didn't really work out. I did like some acro stuff, but that didn't burn calories. I ate whatever I want. I went out on the weekends. I stayed up late. I slept in. I was just so unlike myself. And I felt like I really lost myself there for a little bit.
It'd be weird to see you like that.
And then Adam scooped me up and saved me.
That'd be really weird because you're so active.
And I'm such a morning person, right?
Yeah. I can't even imagine that being you, to be honest. That's
I got
crazy,
tipsy
yeah.
on the weekends, went dancing. Living that LA lifestyle.
That's weird too, because you don't do that.
I know. I'm telling you, I lost myself there.
Huh.
But it was so hard to get off that weight and get back to my normal routine, get back to what I loved. I guess, if anything, it did make me realize how much I loved the sport, but it really came at a cost of like, yeah, my metabolism and also just all that effort to get it off. It was so hard.
Yeah. That was a brutal prep.
Oh yeah.
You know,
How long did we actually prep for? It was like from what, the end of
November,
till like Mile High.
June. So November, and then we were ready.
7 months.
Yeah.
That was a 7 month prep, guys.
To get fully there.
To lose 25 pounds. Yeah. That took me 7 months. And I'm not saying like, I wasn't just like, oh yeah, I'll just, do 20 minutes of walking. That's my workout. No, I was like killing it every day.
Yeah.
Still.
It was weird. That was weird. Cause in the beginning we were like, how come, like maybe I was like, well, maybe she's not as serious anymore. And then you were like, no, Adam, I'm doing everything that you say, I promise. And then it was about 3 months of us trying to figure out things. And then we got your blood test and we found that your thyroid was super low and that you were anemic. And when we figured that out, that's when things started finally moving. So it was like, I find that to be the hardest thing for people is when they're getting started again, they want to see results instantly or they get unmotivated very, very fast. That's a huge factor. So kind of along the same line, I'll throw it out there just because it relates. I was kind of like a crazy obsessed with working out my whole life. And from 13 until 21 or 22, I forget, I didn't miss a single day of working out, like not one day. So it was like just part of my life. I was obsessed with it. And I just thought it would never, ever go away. But then I was playing hockey and I got a minor shoulder injury. I couldn't work out for a little while. It was like 6 weeks or something like that. And then that turned into like, that was the only time I didn't work out in my life, was those 6 weeks. And then that turned into 3 months. And then that turned into like 4 or 5 months of like halfwaying the workout. Mm-hmm. For me, I found that this is someone who worked out their entire life. Like, oh, it's all they knew. It's all they cared about. It was their job. For me, even then, to get back in the gym, it took so much for me to be motivated to be in the gym. That was a whole factor I never took into account. So I kind of appreciate it now because I realize like people who haven't worked out their whole life, like them trying to get started in the gym, I realize, hey, that motivation is like not as easy as it seems. You know, it used to always seem really easy. So I don't know if you went through any of that, but I was like struggle bus.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't even, like when I took that time off, I was so like away from my normal routine that I guess like the motivation wasn't even like, I didn't even think about it. I was just like doing what I thought a normal person would be doing.
Yeah.
You know, living my best life, hashtag living my best life. But I was unrecognizable in the personality department, I guess. Maybe not personality, but my daily activities, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
It's totally a 180 and it's nothing I've done before. It's just like, I don't know. I just like, wanted to be normal, but I really took it too far. I just like cold turkey stopped working out and just ate whatever. I remember having Snicker bars for breakfast. Like, what the heck? Who was I?
That was a different place. Yeah.
That was really strange. Yes. But you know what? The one thing that kind of like woke me up is I went to my friend's show and I got like the sense of motivation again. It's just like
Did it turn on for you?
Yeah. I was like, wow, I missed this. I want to do this again. I need to get back. You know?
So you had no transition like I did. You just
no, I just knew. Ready, huh? I was like,
that's crazy.
Well, that's when then you sent me the email.
Yeah.
Asking if I was ever going to compete again and to be my coach. So that's like, it was like after that, I was like, oh no, I definitely time to come back. Yeah. It was meant to be.
That's kind of crazy to think about. But you know, it's not the only time I've heard of someone who's like on your level of excellence that did that, you know? There's a boxer that comes in name, Tyson Fury, who he had a really crazy career too. And I don't know if this had something to do with yours too, but his whole life he wanted to be Vitaly Klitschko, which is like the heavyweight champion, like one of the longest running heavyweight champions in the world. And when he was like 27 or 26 or something, he actually did it, right? Mm-hmm. And then after that, it just spiraled into depression, like just didn't want to box anymore. He was like, I did everything I wanted to do. There's nothing else for me. Mm-hmm. Went in this huge depression. Like he went really far, like really far with it, like drugs and all this stuff.
Well, yeah,
he didn't go that far. Yeah, he was suicidal, all this stuff. It's a great story to hear about. And then one day he just like one day he just said, you know what, I'm gonna train to be heavyweight champion of the world again. It was like 2 years later or something like that. And next day he was running, and that was it. Wow. He was like 400 pounds.
400?
He's a big dude naturally. Like he's probably boxing at like probably 280 or so. So he's naturally a big dude.
Still, that makes my 25 pounds.
Yeah. He's a 6'7", 6'8". Like he's a giant. You know, he's a giant man from UK. But yeah, but it's just similar. He was the best at what he did. You were the best at what you did. You know, he just one day, just it didn't take him that like period of time. He just was running the next day.
Yeah.
It's crazy, right? So like, I know it's a cool story here because it has some similes to yours, mm-hmm. right? So
right.
You just, that's strange to me because I run into it so much. I'm like kind of like taking it in right now because yeah. I run into a lot of pros who are, they were great. They got their pro card. They might've won a pro show and they're like trying to find motivation again and they don't find it, but you haven't turned off since we've met.
Yeah.
You know, or since we started training again.
You.
It's you haven't even had bad days.
Oh, I've had maybe a bad day here and there. Like
you had Hawaii, which was okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've taken like a week off when it was.
I went on chicken strike for a week once in 2018.
You went
after Japan, I said
so bad about chicken. You were like, chicken made you angry. It was so funny. Like, no, I hate chicken.
We're doing steak for 1 week. Yeah, that was after the Japan show, like the last show of 2018. And I've already done how many shows that year? Like 8 or something?
Yeah, that's so...
A lot. I don't know. And I was just like so over it. And that was, keep in mind, this was after that super long prep. And then I did all these shows that year. Yeah. I was over prep food. I was like you over
really,
chicken.
You really don't mix it up though. You really
should. Because I'm so picky.
You really should have more variety in your foods, your proteins.
Oh man, it's we should do like a tasting, like
all you do is eat chicken
for YouTube.
You eat chicken and mussel eggs. What else do you eat? Do you
Greek protein? Yogurt.
Greek yogurt.
Cottage cheese. I love
you
protein
do have
bars.
That exchange meal.
Oh, protein bars can be so dangerous for me. So dangerous. Like, I love protein bars. You know, protein shakes.
What's your favorite protein bar right now?
My favorite protein bar, I do like Quest. I like their cookies.
Yeah.
They're really good. I like the One Bars.
The One Bars are my jam.
Yes, those are so good.
Lay's Donut is my favorite One Bar right now.
Crunch Bar's good.
Oh, Power Crunch. Power Crunches
yeah.
are good. I get One Fats with it, so I'll put my peanut butter on the vanilla Crunch Bar, Power Crunch Bar.
Ooh.
Bomb. Yeah.
Bomb.com.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was that time I went on chicken strike. That wasn't anything serious, so I just, you know, switched it for steak.
Yeah. So okay, that's cool. That's cool that you. So we got some similes with that mm-hmm. thing. I want to see if that happened to any other like top performing people. Where they just turn on.
I mean,
on,
we
they
do
don't turn
have.
Off.
I mean, I don't know the backstories of the other ladies, but you know, we have Oksana and Adela yes. coming back.
That's true.
They said they were retired and now they're coming back. I, by the way, never said I was retired. Like.
Yeah.
I never said I said I was taking a break. A lot of people thought I was retiring. I'm like, no, I'm not. Come on now.
Oh, you know who's coming back too to Tampa is Aaron Stearns coming
okay,
back.
Cool,
yeah,
cool.
Aaron Stearns coming back. That's cool.
Yeah. So I don't know the backstory of these ladies. I don't know why they retired and then come back, but maybe it is something similar to what I experienced. You know, for me, like it was like a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
And I think I did it to myself a lot. I was like kind of in my mind, like if I didn't show up absolutely perfect, it was like such a big deal if I didn't, you know, win, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of like takes the fun out of it sometimes if you're expected to win. And then, you know, if you win, it's like, okay, yeah, expected that. But if you don't win, it's like, what happened to her?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it was the wrong way to look at things and wrong perspective, but I know now, I learned my lesson and I'm grateful just to be on stage, you know?
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. I like where you're at with it now.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as, so I guess I'll give you my thing because I think a lot of people will more relate to my coming back to the gym than yours probably because the motivation mm-hmm. was instant for you. So for me, it took about a month for me to like force myself into the gym. And what I find common with people who are just getting started back from like a break or whatever, I find that once they get instant results, then they stick around longer though too. If they're getting like the type of results you're getting when we first started, when you were figuring out your hormones and stuff, a lot of people just quit, you know? So one of the things I'll do for people who are like just getting started will be like maybe like a 1 week real like quick diet, like hard diet. And that kind of breaks my rules. but they get a lot of results quickly. It keeps them motivated. They're like, they can concentrate. Okay, 1 week hard. Mm-hmm. And it kind of like sets their mindset right. Yeah. And then we go into like a regular diet after that 1 week, but we might lose, you know, 5-7 pounds that first week. It's crazy. I don't recommend doing that. But in some scenarios where motivation's a factor, or where you want to lose a lot quickly and get comfortable in your skin again type of thing, there's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. You know, the long-term effect of it metabolically is not going to be that significant because it's 1 week. It's not going to be anything crazy where you're highly adapted. Mm-hmm. They're doing research on that right now, actually, where it hasn't shown any significant signs of any adaption in that 1 week period of going hard. So there's some things that we can get away with. So that to me, I find being the case, the problem that people run into, and this is one of the, I think when it goes into our topic of mistakes that are made, is when people do that for too long, mm-hmm. and then they become hyper adapted and then they can't get out of it. Mm-hmm. And then there's nowhere to go besides gain weight, you know, because they're doing too much too early.
Oh, yeah.
So do you have any experience in any of those?
Oh, yeah. I mean, honestly, I think, you know, when bikini was newer, there wasn't a lot of,
sorry,
I've done that too. I did a slurp as well.
I'm slurping.
Slurping out of the butt mug.
Like I'm 5 years old.
I did that too. But I, you know, there wasn't as much information out there as there is now. And, you know, I was kind of like thought, okay, well, time to bulk. It's off season, you know, like many, many people have done before. They thought, I need to put on fat in order to put on muscle. So I should like basically force feed myself. I know that sounds kind of dramatic, but like basically eat when you're not hungry.
That's how they did it. Yeah. A lot of people did it that way.
And I'm looking back and I'm like, that was so stupid.
Yeah.
That was really dumb. I messed myself up. I made my preps way harder than what they needed to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was like, I didn't need to put on that amount of weight in the off seasons that I had before. I didn't need to do that.
So much comes down to the off season.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much. Yeah. And I think that that's a really good mistake that we need to talk about.
Oh yeah.
Honestly.
Definitely.
So
it's probably the biggest mistake I would say in bikini.
Yeah. Here's the thing, guys. Like if you're listening to like old school people, they're going to say, oh, you got to bulk. You got to bulk. You got to eat to build muscle. Like, yes, you have to have calories to build muscle, but there's a point where there's no greater return on muscle than if you were to be even at like maintenance calories. Like it's very, very similar. Here's what happens. Let's say you do gain your maximum amount of muscle potential by eating the maximum amount of calories you can. And let's say that is 3 pounds of lean mass, right? By overeating and force feeding. So you gain 3 pounds of lean mass, but you gained, 6 pounds to, you know, let's say it's like, honestly, it's probably gonna be closer to like 9 pounds of body fat to gain that 3 pounds of lean mass. First, actually, let's take a step back. Like we got to take into account how much muscle someone can actually gain too. I think people overestimate that. And that's what the problem is. You'll have, you know, a girl your size, 120 pounds on stage, and she's trying to gain 1 pound every week of muscle. And I'm like, you're out of your mind. You're 120 pounds on stage. You know, there's no way you're going to gain 4 pounds of pure skeletal muscle in a period of 1 month's time. It's not going to happen, because if you did that, that means that you're saying that you have the potential of gaining 52 pounds of lean mass in 1 year. There's no way. You're not built that way. That's almost 50% of your body weight in lean mass in a year's time. So one, we have to be realistic with what the expectation is, and it's not to gain 1 pound of pure skeletal muscle in a week's period. It's just not going to happen. It's just, you gain like grams of muscle a week if you're doing everything right. So first you got to take that into consideration. You got to understand the body doesn't want to become less efficient. And the more muscle you have, the less efficient you are. The body does not want to do that. It wants to be hyper efficient, and it wants to have very little muscle. So it doesn't need to feed this stuff. It doesn't need to feed energy to something that's wasting energy all day long. And it wants to have energy reserves just in case you go without eating. So it wants to be, you know, have fat energy storage, and it wants to have less muscle so it can be burn less calories throughout the day. So, okay. So that being said, let's go back to our scenario of, okay, you gained 3 pounds of lean mass by force feeding, and now you gained 9 pounds of body fat. Okay. Just to make easy numbers. Okay. But let's say that someone did it more strategically and they didn't gain any body fat. Maybe they gained 1 pound. Let's say they were very smart about their off season. they're very strategic. Even if they gained, let's say, 3 pounds of body fat, but they only gained 2 pounds of lean mass. So they suffered for it because they gained 1 pound less of lean mass. Because yes, if you force feed, you will reach every single ounce of muscle potential you could have gained. There's no arguing that. But there is arguing the net muscle. And that's what I'm concerned with, is net muscle. Okay, so let's say you were very strategic about your calories that you consumed. You gained 2 pounds only instead of 3 pounds, but you only gained 3 pounds of fat. Now the person who gained 9 pounds of fat has to diet off that fat. During the diet phase, when they're going to diet harder because they're dieting for a longer period of time, and their body's going to go through more of an adaption period because they're dieting for a longer period of time. And then what's going to happen is they're going to lose that extra pound of lean mass that they gained during the diet process. So they net the same amount of lean mass at the end of everything, right? So they both have 2 pounds of gained lean mass at the end of this whole thing. But the person who did it strategically is less adapted metabolically because they're not going through such a hard prep, such a hard diet. And also psychologically too, they're in a happier place because they didn't have to go up and down. They didn't go through that period where they disliked how they looked for a period of time. They felt too soft. You know, they're just fit, living fit. And then there's one other scenario, which we don't talk about a lot, which is the person who gained 1 pound of lean body mass while dieting. Okay, so you can gain lean mass while dieting. You can build muscle while in a caloric deficit. I know that sounds crazy because a lot of people don't understand how it works, but it's absolutely a thing. Okay, so I wouldn't recommend doing it for your entire lifting career, but there's nothing wrong with recomping where you gain lean mass and lose body fat at the same time. That is a whole nother long topic, but I can go into it one day. Maybe I'll do it like on an IGTV because it's probably like a 15-minute like discussion on how it's done, but it's absolutely possible. So that being said, just to get that out there, hopefully that changes some of your guys' minds on bulking. I see women in the gym who are like competing, who've never been stage lean, and they're like, maybe they're 20 pounds, like over, like honestly, not even like, some of them are not even like a little soft from off season, like 20 pounds overweight. And they're like, oh, I just got to bulk to build my glutes. And I'm like, why? You have enough energy in you right now to not have to do that. Like you don't, your body can use that energy. Yeah. You know? And if you work out hard enough, your body can use that energy and direct calories towards muscle. So like, it's just the way we need to think about these things. That's the biggest mistake. It's a killer of physiques and a killer, not necessarily just a physiques, but it's more of a killer of confidence, you know? And that's what I hate, you know, like, cause they don't feel good at the pool because they're not lean all year. They're blowing up every off season and not feeling comfortable with the way they look. You know, it blows people out of the sport. And then dieting down, I just hate that process.
Just knowing ahead what's ahead, like, this is going to be hard, you know, depending on how much weight you have to lose. It's like, you don't want to have that feeling of like, oh man, this is going to be tough. I'm going to have to suffer for a long time to get back to where I was, just to start at the drawing board again. Such a horrible feeling.
What's weird too is that the world is so small now, you know, because we're all so interconnected through Instagram and YouTube and all these different things, all these different media channels. But still, I get so many British women going through that old school bulking phase stuff because that's what a lot of the coaches are still doing out there. Yeah. And it's like, it's a lot. It's a lot of them. I would say I get that email once a week, you know, from someone who's put on way too much weight in the off season because they're bulking and now they're having a problem dieting down to get ready for a show. They can't get stage lean anymore because they went too far with it. Their coach out there told them, you got to eat to grow. And it's like, that's not the approach. You know, that's not the approach for bikini. The only time that even makes sense is when someone is like, it honestly doesn't even really make that much sense then. But if someone is like enhanced, where they're taking a bunch of like pharmaceuticals, where they can take in just a completely abnormal amount of protein and they can synthesize more protein. They can actually use that energy because that person who's going to take all that, those extra calories and build more muscle than a normal person, they're essentially turned themselves into a superhuman. You know, the problem is that they're going to use the same type of pharmaceuticals to get the fat off that they did to get the muscle on. So you're manipulating hormones. There's no really risk in doing it that way. And you're just like, oh, I'm just going to use these hormones to get big. I'm going to use these hormones to get skinny. That's it. And it's just it's a totally different scenario. So people's bikini athletes who don't take those things see these, like, get these, like, plans that were designed for bodybuilders taking things and they try to apply them to bikini and they don't work. They're not, it's a different world. You know, it's not even, it's like football and baseball. It's not the same sport. It's totally different. Like the approach, the style, the supplements, the everything. So just like, that's a big mistake. I'm glad you talked about that one. I guess I went off on that one a little bit because it's such a, that one's near to my heart because I've seen so many girls get crushed in an off season and never make it back to stage and hate the way they look and not feel confident. And it's just like, just stay lean, guys, just stay lean, make it easy on yourself. So, okay. I'm like, sorry.
There's like a catchphrase in there somewhere.
You know, probably is.
Stay lean and stay lean. I don't know.
Try to do it on the spot. Try to try to get catchphrases on the spot.
I feel like there is a catchphrase in there somewhere.
Stay lean, stay happy. I don't know.
I was trying to.
How about we'll see who can come up with the best catchphrase for staying lean in the off season. Put it in the comments.
Yes, please.
So what's another one that you've gone through, Ashley? Any other of these little mistakes?
I would say like my first show, I did not research how things worked enough. And I should have. For example, for my first show, I just got like a salon spray tan.
I remember me
like just being so much lighter than everyone else. My suit color was white, wasn't even like a competition type suit. My hair was like bleached it blonde. It was just bad. My physique wasn't really that bad. It was like more everything else. And my posing was a little stiff. I should have researched more about what they were looking for, but I will tell you something. After that first show that I've ever done, the Arnold, I applied my new learnings to my shows. And wouldn't you know, the next year later, I won overall. So that's where I discovered, oh, green suit looks good on me and darker hair, that looks better. And my tan was on point, my posing, all that. So it all came together because I, you know, learned my lesson. So I guess with every mistake, you can learn something from it. I'm still learning things every show I do. There's little things here and there that I can fix, even if it's something small, like, oh, I should have moved my hair off my shoulder in this pose, something so small like that. You know, those things do make a difference. And we're constantly, you know, making these little mistakes and we can all learn from them.
Yeah, I think that that's a good thing. It's funny. Every time I see a girl has her presentation off or has her posing off or whatever, I'm like, what are you like? And I'm sorry, this sounds insulting. I'm like, I always like, posing is free. Like I have it for free every weekend. Mm-hmm. Like there's no reason you should not know these things because I do it all the time. We travel all over the country. We do it for free. I mean, the only time we ever charge for posing classes is when that gym that we're at actually, like, you know, they have to run a business. They have to make something. So that's the only time we charge and they get that. Like, it's not like we just do it all the time. We do it on video. There's videos of it. We have it on YouTube. Guys, if you don't know how to pose and you're not certain and you're not confident, even if you're not confident in your posing yet, that means you haven't practiced enough. You know, you should be out there pretty confident in your posing and your presentation and knowing that you're doing everything right. Just watch us even on YouTube, come to a posing class. We have seminars all the time. It makes me mad. It makes me more like mad and sad. I'm like, you could have won your class. If you just like, you could have won the first Arnold, probably could have won, you know? So, so that's one of the things. It's accessible. We have a posing class. Actually, this will get posted on Thursday. So we have a posing class tomorrow, if you're listening to this, with Muscle Contest in Las Vegas. It's on our Instagrams. So if you're in town or if you're not too far away, come on down. There's a show on Saturday, the Patriot Show. It's an amateur show. But we have our posing seminar on Friday, so tomorrow, at 6 p.m. So details are on the thing. So yeah, it's free. Come on down. Come on down.
Come say hi.
Yeah, so that's a big one. That's a big, big part of it. I've seen a lot of women who could have won the show have their hair up with like a thing here.
Yeah, like
a barrette or what do they call it?
Yeah.
What do they call those things? Is it barrette?
Like a barrette or pinned up with a fancy clip or something. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you can get away with those things on a local show, a small show. but things that are, or shows that are, you know, national shows or big shows, like, here's the thing, something like that can really just make the difference between like first place and like 10th, you know, somebody that has the physique and the potential to be number one does something like wear their hair strange or wear shoes that are colored, you know what I mean, to match their suit or something like that, that could be so easy to fix, but they didn't know any better. And that's probably why, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it does suck to see, because it is frustrating. It's like, oh, if you just would have just fixed this. But, you know, we've all done that. And as far as competing, Adam, have you ever come across something from yourself that you maybe didn't know or you regret or a mistake you've made?
Personally and with athletes, you know, that's just a coach's thing. The coaches, just so you guys know, the coaches, there's no coach who's still not learning. You know, there's no one who's like mastered it to the point where they're still not learning. And you're going to make mistakes, especially if you're like a risk taker, which I would kind of put myself in that category of like pushing it a little bit, sometimes bringing them in too muscular, sometimes bringing them in too hard because I'm trying to stand out in some way. And if a girl's not winning, I'm going to push it until we find what the recipe is for. Maybe bring her in too soft, bring her in too hard, whatever. Cause I want to find that range for that particular girl and her, what the judges like from what her physique is, that type of thing. But myself, I will say with guys more often than women, but women do too. Everyone wants to be so full. Everyone wants to be so full. And every time you prep someone, not every time, but a lot of the times after someone gets done with their show, they'll like message you the next day and they're like, oh, I had pizza and I had this and I look so much better today. I look so much fuller. And I'm like, I know you look fuller. You had more food. Of course you're fuller. Like that's a strategic thing. Mm-hmm. Like the problem is everyone wants to be so full that they're willing to sacrifice and they think they look better the next day after the show because they're fuller, but they don't realize that you're softer. You're noticeably softer. Your waistline is noticeably bigger. Yes, you're fuller. Yes, you're more vascular. Yes, you feel better. You have a feeling of euphoria because you have all this food in you that you haven't had for a while. You have more sodium. So you get a better pump, but it's not that you don't necessarily look better. It happens. Sometimes people do look better, but more times than not, you being 100% full means you're not 100% lean. So you have to find that balance of conditioning and fullness where you haven't kind of spilled over and made your waistline bigger. And I think that's what the things is especially guys doing like men's physique and classic whatnot, they just keep pushing the carbs and like, oh, I had 1,000 carbs yesterday because I needed to fill out. And I'm like, dude, there's no way you talk to these like pro bodybuilders, they don't do that many carbs and they reload. It's crazy. And then be like 170 pound men's physique dude, 180 pound men's physique dude doing more than like Sean Roden for the Olympia. It's like, it's crazy, you know what I mean? Like the thought process of it. So I've done that myself earlier in my career where I've spilled guys over or where I've spilled over. And spilled over basically means that you've had so many carbs that you look watery and you can kind of see like a blur on your skin. Like you have this hard grainy look and then all of a sudden you took all these carbs in, you didn't absorb all of them. A lot of them are still hanging outside the muscle cell waiting to be absorbed. You have an abundance of them in there now, it's just waiting at this point. So you look softer and more blurry. When you absorb carbs, here's one of the things too. When you absorb carbs, for every 1 gram of glucose that you absorb, which becomes, you know, we call glycogen, that's stored in a muscle cell, the estimated amount of water that goes with that is 3.7 grams of water. So 1 gram of glucose or glycogen as it's stored is 3.7 grams of water. So think about that as like 1,000 grams, right? That's a lot of water. You're talking about like, you know, 3,700 grams of water or so. That could be stored potentially outside the muscle cell. Of course, you're going to look softer when that happens if you're eating too many carbs. And then think about the food volume of that and how much wider it's going to get your waistline. So that's the thing. You got to be smart with how you're reloading your carbs. And some people, we don't even reload with carbs at all because you have so much muscle, we don't need to. And even those girls will be like, oh, I need to be fuller. And I'm like, like, for example, with Ashley, very, very little reload on her carbs. She will be flat on stage, but she has so much muscle that she still looks like one of the more muscular bikini competitors on stage. At least like she has been. She's going to give you like,
sometimes.
At the Arnold, you didn't have any carb reload and you were jacked.
Like, Arnold 2000, 19. Arnold 2019 was my fullest, most muscular look.
And you weren't even reloading carbs at that point. Yeah, that's so true. So look back, if you want to see, like, hey, look back at those pictures. We didn't have any specific carb reload that whole week. Few rice cakes, things like that, but nothing like, hey, on Monday you need 400 carbs, on Tuesday you need 200. It was like under 100 every day of the whole week for her reload. It wasn't even a reload. I think some of these were carb-free, if I remember right. Yeah. So you don't need a crazy amount of carbs to look a specific way. And every girl goes there. And I think that that's where they make a lot of the mistakes, where they spill over, they lose their conditioning. They're always chasing this fullness. And you guys too, you know, if you're ever 100% full, highly unlikely you're going to be 100% conditioned. I haven't seen many guys be able to do it. Usually it's 90% full, 100% conditioned. That's kind of how it goes. You know, even some guys, and with Ashley, you know, probably 70% full, 100% conditioned. That's how it worked. Mm-hmm. So something that you need to, don't chase the fullness to the point where it hurts your physique. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think along those lines too, a big mistake other competitors make, especially the newer ones, is kind of listening or watching or taking in information from other competitors and how they do things and try to mimic that. For example, maybe a competitor says, yeah, my coach, like 2 days before a show, like I get to go to McDonald's and have two Big Macs and two orders of fries to fill me out. And so I can be nice and full on stage and, you know, or even junk food the night before. I've seen that junk before. And then the other competitor starts thinking, well, she's allowed to have all this good food before a show. I should do that too, or something similar. And it's like, you know, what works for one person might not work for the other. Although I will say the whole pigging out before a show thing, I would never do that. And I don't think you would have any of your athletes do that. It's just a big risk. But some people, you know, do it and whatever, they like the results it gives, maybe for them, but maybe they could have looked better if they didn't do that. But
they for sure could have looked better if they didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll be 100%. There's zero times ever where someone will be like prepping, because here's the funny thing about that is this: the coaches that tell people to have the burgers and fries and the pizza reloads and all these things like before the show are usually the same guys who had their athletes eating fish and asparagus only for the last 4 weeks, 5 weeks, whatever, and doing 2 hours of cardio a day, right? So when you take that into like, you think about that, like in its simplest form, you think about that, you have the cleanest diet you could pretty much have. It's a couple items and salt and pepper, right? It's like, it's gluten-free, it's dairy-free, it's artificial, like artificially, like sweeteners usually is free. You have all these things. You have like such a pure, clean diet. You're eating like you did back in 1500s, you know, a fisherman at 1500s. Like, it's such a simplistic diet and it's so clean. You know, you have, your body's just functioning. It's like, hey, this is great. I'm not having anything I have to filter through. It's great. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, a day before the show, the 3 days before the show, your coach says, okay, that worked really well. But now we're going to do is we're going to have you go to McDonald's or go wherever and introduce gluten into your system, which we're going to do gluten. Sometimes it's dairy because they'll do pizzas. Sometimes they'll do cheeseburgers. They'll introduce dairy again. I'm like, and then they'll have just huge amounts of sodium, which is like something that you haven't been doing. And some people, they do it in on purpose. Coaches won't have them do sodium, which is, don't ever do that. That can hurt you really bad. But so they introduce this huge amounts of sodium, huge amounts of gluten, huge amounts, sometimes dairy. And they're expecting the body to just be like, oh, they're going to absorb it into the muscles and not have any inflammation, have any intestinal problems, no stress with the gut where it's going to make their waistline bigger. I'm sure that's what's going to work. It doesn't make any sense. Like, you can't go from super, super clean and that being your philosophy to super, super dirty and that being your philosophy in 24-hour period. Mm-hmm. You either pick one or the other, you know, like if you're a macro guy and you think that that's your philosophy, hey, good for you. Go for it. Do your thing. Then yeah, burger at the end, it doesn't change because you've been doing gluten the whole time. So it's not going to have this dramatic effect on you. But when you have the super clean philosophy and all of a sudden this is the right way of doing things, it's just beyond me that this is even a concept. It's just right. completely beyond me. So you can get the same effect by if you wanted to just have a little bit more sodium and you throw some more salt in your food, instead of doing, you know, pre-frozen fries that are packaged and frozen from McDonald's that have preservatives and all these things. You can eat a potato with more salt. You could do, you know, if you want to do a burger, you could do a burger from organic burger, whole grain. You could just stick to the same thing, clean, clean, clean. Then you stay clean, clean, clean all the way up. If you're a macro guy, yeah, it shouldn't really affect you that much because you've already been doing it the whole time. So it just doesn't make any sense. So if that's what you're being told, you got to rethink that whole concept. Mm-hmm. Like, because we're talking about the sport of bodybuilding is literally like, it's inches, you know, it's inches. It's just like football. You know, football is a game of inches. You know, it's just an inch here, an inch there, an inch here, an inch there. All these little advantages that you give away, you allow people more room to catch up to you. Okay, so you introduce gluten the day before the show. You have a pizza reload the day before the show. Of course your waistline is going to be bigger. Of course, you might be an inch bigger on your waistline, 3/4 inch. That looks significantly different in terms of ratios, just an inch on your waistline. So like you have to think about these things as never allowing anyone any room to catch up to you. Mm-hmm. And if you do that the right way, then you're going to have so little room available to catch up to someone that no one can catch up to you. And you're trying to get every edge you can and keep every edge away, you know, from mm-hmm. someone else getting. So that's my whole thing on that. So I keep it clean. You know, you can mimic the same results with just adding sodium, adding mm-hmm. meats, adding and eliminating those unpredictabilities, right?
Right.
Because it's so unpredictable. So, mm-hmm.
I mean, I can even tell just from, you know, having a treat meal the day or the night of the show, I should say. So if I have been eating clean the whole prep, then I go out for a burger and fries. Yeah. The next day I'm definitely like holding water because my mm-hmm. body's like, what the heck is this? I haven't had this in a while. And then, you know, it's not fat, but it's definitely like some water retention, you know, my abs will be blurred. My glutes won't be as sharp. So it's like, you know, for me, I would never risk that. And I don't think it's very smart. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah. But I bet you the next day your shoulders and your glutes are fuller.
Oh yeah, definitely. Totally. And that's definitely get a good pump.
Oh yeah. See, and that's the email I get the next day. Hey, I'm way fuller. I know, but it's not the right, it's right. Not the right thing. Mm-hmm. Fuller with, you know, fuller shoulders by, you know, a half an inch doesn't offset a 1-inch waistline gain and blurred mm-hmm. abs. It's never going to exchange that way. So that one is another one that's like really gets me because I hate seeing people work for 16 weeks and then their coach telling them something like, hey, eat something that makes no sense at all and ruin all of what we've done together. All your suffering I put you through, let's just go ruin it. So you have a one meal satisfaction 8 hours before the show. That's mm-hmm. pure craziness.
Yeah.
So
that is crazy.
I have a friend who does that and he does it and I can't talk him out of it. He's not my client and he does it every show. And I'm like, I don't know why you do this, but I'm like, well, I do know why he does it. Cause he likes pizza. That's why he does. There's literally the only reason you can kind of like, what do they call it? When you like force yourself to agree with something because of the, it's like a bias, I forget what it's called, mm-hmm. bias confirmation or something like that, confirmation bias or something like that, where like you're like trying to make it the right thing for your body. he eats a meat lover's pizza, full pizza, the night before the show.
Jeez.
And he never looks detailed.
I hope he takes a big dump the morning of the show.
I mean, he eats clean the whole time and he does a meat lover's pizza. And he always tries to convince me that that's the best thing for him. He's like, it's just how I reload, man. It just works for me. I'm like, dude, it's, you always look watery on stage. You always are starting to sweat. Like something happens. I don't know what, I can't say this is a thing with everyone. I don't know if there's this like scientific rationale for it. I haven't seen it if there is. I've never really even looked into it, to be honest. But something with those guys who do those dirty reloads, like in bodybuilding at least, they just start sweating the next day on stage so much more.
Sweating out a meat lover's pizza.
I don't know if it's a him thing, but every guy I know that does like this big cheat reload, like dirty reload, that's bodybuilding at least, they always like start sweating more the night of the show. And their waistlines are always blown out. Always blown out waistlines. But the sweating, I don't know if there's something, some correlation with that, or is this just my friends that I know.
Has that ever happened to you after a cheat meal? Because sometimes I get like a heartbeat. My heartbeat and like heart rate goes faster after a cheat meal sometimes.
You know what? I have had like huge like blood sugar things after, but after meals where I shouldn't have blood sugar rushes, like where I feel like almost panicked, where I'll like cold sweat. I have had that happen when I was, you know, when I was competing and I did like big reloads, but more times than not, honestly, what happened with me where I stopped doing those big cheat meals like after shows is because I just threw up.
Oh,
I threw up twice and I was like, I'm done. It's not fun to throw up. Yeah. Like you just open those floodgates and you just can't stop. And then the next thing you know, I'm throwing it up and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not going to they don't feel good for like 2 days.
Yeah.
It's not a good feeling. It, the only good feeling is literally chewing. After that, everything's worth. Like even swallowing at a certain point of the meal, you're just so full. It doesn't even feel good to swallow it.
Yeah.
So like at a certain point when chewing becomes the joy, you realize you've got too far.
Yep. So
I threw up. I got the second time I did it, the last time I did it, like a big cheat meal after the show, wasn't even really that bad. I threw up. I had a double Western bacon cheeseburger, which is my favorite hamburger, by the way, from Carl's Jr. And I didn't even make it through the burger. It's not that big. I didn't even make it through the burger, and I threw it up in the bathroom. I like ate like half of it, and then I was like, "Really? Like I'm that sensitive now? Like I don't understand what happened there. I don't know." So yeah, that was my last time. Now I just eat like a clean burger after, and I feel fine. Well, now I don't even compete, so.
Good to know. We're not going to have you throw up anymore.
Yeah, right?
None of that.
So do you have any like cheat meal stories?
Cheat meal stories? No, I'm kind of like a lame cheat meal person.
Pretty
like
consistent.
I don't go ham. Sometimes my cheat meal is just like me saying that I'm going to have a cheat meal and then I just take a shower and go to bed. Like I make plans with people like, yeah, I'll meet you there.
Or the show gets out too late.
I'll meet you at that restaurant. And then I'll be like, hey, never mind. I'm actually going to get a bed.
That seems like you too.
But I, you know, I will have like some protein bars and stuff on those kind of nights. I love protein bars, you know?
Yeah.
Like I said, maybe some peanut butter, stuff like that. Like little snacks, you know? Nothing too crazy though.
Yeah, I've thrown down a couple times. So, I mean, I've thrown down amount of food, like where it was like eating contest amount of food. The first, maybe it was like my second show. Yeah, I threw down like eating contest amount of food. So, but okay, so that's good to know. Yeah, you're more of a snacker too. Like if we go to a cheat meal, like when we have like six people there, she'll like snack. She'll try to have a little bite of everyone's type of thing.
Everyone's like. Yeah.
But that's like, everyone knows. That's just like, she wants a little taste. That's all, she's a taster. So. Mm-hmm.
That's true. But that gets the job done for me, so.
That's good. Yeah, you're lucky with that.
I like variety.
So any other things that you've experienced are unique to you?
For those are the main things. You know, little things here and there, like I said, like, oh, I could have posed better or I should have came in a little bit leaner. But like I said, I'm always learning and it's always a learning lesson when I do make a mistake.
Okay. I think with that, we covered a lot. That was kind of fun. I feel like sometimes I talk too much during certain topics, right?
They want to hear you.
Okay.
You're just spewing out information.
I know, but I feel like sometimes I just do it too much, you know?
No.
Okay.
You're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
I go off. I get riled up. I get riled up.
No, it's like a subject you're passionate about, so you talk. So
yeah.
I appreciate it.
That's cool. All right, guys. So hopefully we'll see some of you tomorrow. And please rate us 5 stars because we're thirsty for them stars, man.
Exactly.
Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you later.
Bye-bye.